Good morning. God bless you. How are you guys doing today? I hope you're having a fantastic day. I'm going to take a look at Such As I Have. Let me repeat that. Such As I Have is the title of today's teaching. And that's taken from Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Let's take a look at that in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Now, this is the record of the man at the gate called Beautiful being healed following the day of Pentecost. Peter and John have come to the temple, and as they come in, they see this man seated there at the entrance of the gate, and they say to this man, basically, look on us. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now when Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. They ask a blessing or ask favor. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, the key words here are he was expecting to receive. He was expecting to receive. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. The apostles were not known for giving money away, particularly to beggars. But, and this is what we can say, but silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What he offered that lame man, was that greater than gold or silver? Could he buy his restored health? No. Not regardless of any amount of silver or gold that he might have had, he could not buy what Peter gave him. What you and I can give. What we have within us to give. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. And let's take a look at exactly what we have and who we've been called to be and exactly what we have to give. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go back to verse 8. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. This is Jesus Christ, or talking about Jesus Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he had ascended up on high. Who is the he? Jesus Christ. He's talking about the ascension. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Who's the he again? Who gave those gifts? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And then we go down to verse 11 to find out what he gave. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Those are the gifts that Jesus Christ gave. Those are the offices, the ordination that Jesus Christ gave. Let me read them again. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the things that Jesus Christ calls us to as men and women. Those are the ministries that Jesus Christ calls us to. God gives the overall ordination. He stamps it. He stamps it with approval. Jesus Christ gives out those positions. Have you been called to be a pastor, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist? Has Jesus Christ put that in your heart? Has that been tugging at your heart to do? You know something? It says here that Jesus Christ gives those offices, those ordinations. If Jesus Christ gives them, then do you have to wait for a man to acknowledge the fact that you have it? Public ordination is just exactly that. It is a public celebration of what has already been given to you, who you have already been called to be, who Jesus Christ has set down and personally invited you to the office of a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. Those gift ministries that Jesus Christ has already called you to, if he has called you. But you know something? Even if he hasn't called you, I want you to take a look at John 14:12. We've already talked about what certain people have been called to be. And again, it's what Jesus Christ has called you to be. Not a man, not your pastor, not your preacher, not your pope. This is what Jesus Christ calls men and women to be. But if you go back to 14:12 of John, you find out what the rest of us have been called to do. And I want you to pay attention to this. John 14:12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," or "I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now, wait a minute. I want to stop right here. It says, "he that believeth on me." Does it say he who's called to be a pastor, teacher, preacher, evangelist? No. "He that believeth on me," that is the only qualification to do what we're about to hear that we have all been called to do if we're born again. Romans 10:9-10, "that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, this applies to you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he or she do also." Well, what works did Jesus Christ do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, turn water into wine. A multiplicity of things that Jesus Christ did, and that you and I, whether we're called to be pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, or not, if we believe, we are called to do these same things. I didn't write the book. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Because I go unto my Father. Somebody's got to carry on my work. Because I'm going to my Father. And you know what the qualification to carry on the work of Jesus Christ is? And we'll come back to this a little bit later. It is simply believing that you have been called to do that. Now, over and above that calling, some of us have been called to be pastors, prophets, teachers, preachers, etc., evangelists. But everyone who is born again is called to this particular calling. That's what we're called to do. In Luke chapter 18, let's take a look at what some of us have been called, not some of us, what we have all been called to do. What are those callings? Not only do we do the works that Jesus Christ did, but in Luke chapter 18, in verse 27, it says, "And he said," talking about Jesus Christ, "the things that are impossible with man are possible with God." Does that mean we have the capability of doing the things that Jesus Christ did of ourselves, of our own strength, of our own natural ability? No. No. But when we believe what the words of Jesus Christ spoke, the words that he spoke, we have the God-given ability to do the impossible. Verse 27 again. "And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God." Are possible with God. Let's take a look at another verse. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Am I able to do of my own ability? No. When Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these, then who do you think is going to help you? His strength, which is God's strength, is God in Christ in you, work within you to give you the ability to do the works that Jesus Christ did. Not of ourselves. It's not anything of ourselves. It is not by our natural abilities. It's by that God in Christ in us. That's how we have the ability to do these things. Romans 8:35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Another verse that I'm sure a lot of us are very familiar with. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution? Shall famine, or nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, no, 100 times over. In all things we are more than conquerors. Another translation of that is super conquerors. Through him that loved us. Who's the him? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has called us to do the works that he did. And then he has enabled us to do those. It's that God in Christ in you that allows you to do the works that Jesus Christ did. Of myself, I can do nothing. Of myself, I can do nothing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. That one is another verse that should be very familiar to you, but we'll take a look at it just in case it's not. Psalms, Proverbs, chapter 3, actually it's going to be verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in who? The Lord. With all thine heart. And here's where I miss it all the time, when I fall short. And lean not unto thine own understanding. When it comes as to how, when you're trying to figure out how to manifest the power of God, when you're trying to figure out how that you're to do the things that God has called us to do, that Jesus Christ has set before us to do and challenged us to walk in his footsteps, how do we do it? We don't lean to our own understanding. We go to the Word and find out from the Word who we are, what we have, and what we have been called to do. The Word has to be our mirror. It has to be, we have to see ourselves as the Word says we are. Not as the world says we are. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That's the challenge, and here's the promise. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he, God, shall direct thy paths. God will tell you how to do that. He will give you that information. In James chapter 1, it says, if we lack wisdom, in my case, when we lack wisdom, let us go to God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will direct your steps. He will tell you when you ask him how you should do these things. How can I do the works that Jesus Christ did? Ask God. Let him direct our paths. Let him direct our steps. Isaiah chapter 40. Another verse that should be familiar to many of us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He, talking about God, giveth power to the faint, and to them which have no might, He increases their strength. God increases your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Don't think that because you're getting older, you don't have the strength to do the things of God, the things that God has called you to do. Physically, you may not. You may not. But you know what? When we make God our sufficiency, when we claim who God has called us to be through Christ Jesus, we are able to do great things. We are able to be more than conquerors in every situation. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a key word in here that I want you to pay attention to. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait is not the word that we think of when we think about twiddling our thumbs and waiting for something to come to pass. And this is something that you Greek scholars out there that are watching this or listening to this are going to have to work for yourselves. But this is how God explained this scripture to me. The word wait here, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That word wait is as a waiter in a fine restaurant. A waiter in a fine restaurant, yes, he waits for you to need something else to happen. But he is very attentively watching, seeking to serve. When your water gets down to a half or less or whatever the criteria for that restaurant happens to be, he's right there to refill your water. When he sees that you're done with your whatever course you're on, he pulls that plate aside and asks you if you're ready for the main course or if you ask you if you want dessert. He is attentively seeking to serve. And that's what God explained to me about this word wait. When we attentively seek to serve, as a waiter in a fine restaurant, when we seek to serve the Lord, then He is going to renew our strength. We are going to mount up with wings as eagles. But we have to seek to serve the Lord. When and where we do, God is going to provide the strength, the energy that we need to do whatever it is that we've been called to do. Do you have to rely upon your own strength? No. Certainly not. God will provide what we need. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Such as I have, give I thee. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. We're taking a look at what we have the God-given right, privilege, and ability to do because of what Jesus Christ brought past when He died on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And He said unto me, now this was when Paul was beseeching, you know, Lord, it's too much for me to bear. And listen to what he was told. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you feel like you cannot go another mile, another inch, when you feel like you can't pay another bill, you can't do this or you can't do that, remember this. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are physically unable to do the things that we have been called upon to do, you know what? We have to put it in God gear. We have to go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and trust in the Lord and let Him direct our paths. Or Isaiah 40:29, and remember that it's God who strengthens us. Remember that in Christ we can do all things, Philippians 4:13. That's where we get our strength from. Not of our physical selves. It is of God, through Christ Jesus, that we have our strength and are able to do. Let's take a look at Psalm 18, verse 29. For those of you who don't know, Psalm is in the middle of your Bible. So if you just put your Bible right on its edge and open up the dead center, unless you've got too much concordance or too much whatever, you'll come up with Psalms. Psalm chapter 18, verse 29. For by thee I run through a troop. Does it say by my own physical ability? No. Does it say by being such a great man or woman of God, I can do this? No. By thee, by thy power, and by thy strength, I am able to run through a troop. And by my God, I have leaped over a wall. It's God that we get our strength and our energy from, through Christ Jesus. It's God. Psalm 103. Another verse that may be very familiar to a lot of us. Psalm 103, verse 3. Why are we able to say this? Why are we able to come to God and have our strength and our sufficiency? And what is the biggest trick of the adversary to talk us out of that? Condemnation for sins and shortcomings of the past. Here's what the Word says. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all the sins, all of our shortcomings. We have been forgiven. Why? Why do you think Jesus Christ died on a cross? To pay for our sins in full. And to make it available for us to be healed. By His stripes we were healed. Our sins have been paid for. Our iniquities, all of our shortcomings have been forgiven. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. That's how we know that we have those things. That's how we know that we're worthy. And let's take it, while we're in Psalm 103, let's take a look at verse 12. He has taken our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our failures, and our past failures. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I know you've heard the story before, I'm certainly guessing you have. But when you go north, you go north until you hit the North Pole. What happens if you continue in that same direction? You find yourself going south. Because you have reached the furthermost mark on this earth of going north. But continuing the same direction, you find yourself going south. Well, the Word doesn't say that He has removed our sins, our transgressions, from us as far as the north is from the south. There would be a limit to that. What happens when you go east or west? Do you ever hit the opposite direction? No. I can go around this earth a million times going east and still be going east. I can go around this earth a million times going west and still be going west. Not true of north and south. God has taken our iniquities, our shortcomings, and cast them to infinity. That's how far He separated them from us. We cannot allow ourselves to get into condemnation. If you have unforgiven sins, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. Let's take a look at 1 John 1:9. All the way to the back of the book. First John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's go on down. Verse 10. For if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And you know what? When we do, the rest of the verse is, and if any man sin, in my case, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ stands up there and pleads our case and says, you know what? Gary Anderson might have blown it. He might have done something terribly wrong. But you know what? He's a good man. And He's going to say the same thing for you. Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. He fights and pleads our case on our behalf. When we ask God to forgive us, when we ask God to forgive us, Jesus Christ then comes in as our defense attorney and takes over and pleads our case. And you know what? That's a defense attorney that has never, ever lost a case. Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Such as I have, give I thee. We have a tremendous amount to give. When and where we claim it. When and where we allow God to be our sufficiency. When and where we rely upon God in Christ in us for strength to do the things that we've been called to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, When now, then are we ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? In His absence, we represent the risen Christ. In His absence, we represent the risen Christ as His ambassadors. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. Stand in Christ's stead. Jesus Christ is no longer physically present. We are His ambassadors. We stand as His legal representatives. And we can do the things that He did. John 14:12. The works that I did, ye shall do also. And greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. You are standing in His stead, and I am standing in His stead. We have been called as His ambassadors, and we stand in His stead. Big shoes to fill, but you know what? We have the God-given right, privilege, and ability to stand in those shoes, to do the works that Jesus Christ did. Let's go back to where this whole thing began, Acts chapter 3. And I want to show you a couple of final points. Verse 6, then Peter said, And as you and I can say, anytime we have a need or we encounter someone that has a need, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Healing miracle is required. We stand in Christ's stead. We represent the risen Christ. We can lay hands on, we can minister to, we can take care of the situation. And you know what we're supposed to do when we fall short of that? When we just don't feel like we've got enough energy? Let's take a look at chapter 4, verse 29. Because this is Peter and John after they have ministered healing to the man at the gate called Beautiful, and he has stood up and leaped and walked and all kinds of things. After they had gone through, here's their prayer. And this is what we can do when we fall short, when we feel like we just don't have it today. Verse 29 of chapter 4. And now, Lord, this is Peter praying, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they or we may speak thy word. When you're threatened, when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling down, you like you don't have the energy to stand in Christ's stead, pray. Pray for boldness, pray for strength. Verse 30. And by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. We have been called to stand in Christ's stead. We have been called as mighty ambassadors. We have been given the tools that we need. Some of us have been called as prophets, apostles, pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists. Some of us have been called to those offices. But you know what the rest of us have been called to do? John 14:12. The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Because I go unto my Father. We have been called to do the works that Jesus Christ did. And we have been given the God-given right, privilege, and ability to carry those out. When we look to God for our strength, when we remember that through Christ I can do all things, because it's Christ that paid the ultimate price that allowed us to be free to stand in His stead. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.